An apostle has a unique function and a unique grace that no one else in the church has and cannot duplicate. It's impossible to duplicate. Look, if you were gifted for pastoral care, you could work hard to duplicate what a teacher does. If you're a pastor, you could probably work hard to duplicate some of what an evangelist does. And you won't be as good, but you'll achieve. But it is simply not possible for someone else to duplicate what an apostle ultimately does. It is a very unique grace that produces life. It carries the germ of life. And without apostles being in place, the church is not in order, and the kind of life that ought to be produced does not get produced. Now, in particular, because if apostles were not unique, why bother? When Scripture says he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be pastors and teachers, some to be evangelists, that was in the middle of the list. When Scripture says this, which is the mind of the Spirit, which is what Christ is doing, why would that be so if these were not very unique roles? They are unique roles. And the uniqueness of the apostolic role cannot be done without. Now, this old dogma that says, or said, there were only 12 apostles was always false. Do you know that in the New Testament, only one person is named as a pastor? Does anyone know who that was? It's Jesus. He's the only person in the New Testament who called by name a pastor. Now, there are other pastors because it says so, but he's the only one named. Prophets, there are three that are named and four referred to without names. No, there are others referred to too. Here's what I'm saying. Agabus and Judas and Silas are all named as prophets. The four daughters of Philip are named. Their names aren't there, but we're told they were prophetesses. And in addition to that, we're told that in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Now, the church had prophets everywhere, but only three of them are directly named. Evangelists, the church obviously had them, but only one is named, Philip the evangelist. Teachers, yes, Priscilla and Aquila, and you know, there's some famous names in there. Just a few, not many. But do you know that there are 24 apostles named in the New Testament? 24. I thought there were only 12, you said. Here's the distinction. By the way, in addition to the 24 named, there are another 12 referred to not by name. Here's the distinction. There were only 12 apostles of the Lamb. There were only 12 who were apostles who walked with Jesus during his ministry on earth, and as apostles bore witness to the resurrection. They saw him resurrected, appearing, speaking with them before his ascension. They were the apostles of the Lamb. But could I point out to you that in Ephesians 4, verse 11, written years after the resurrection, which means years after Christ had ascended and was seated at the right hand of the Father, long after he'd appointed the other 12, Scripture says, when he ascended, he made some to be apostles. In other words, this wasn't counting the other 12. This wasn't, Ephesians 4:11 is not a reference to the apostles of the Lamb, but newer apostles, more apostles. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, is one of those. Timothy is an apostle. Titus, an apostle. And so, the old theory that said there were only 12 was never correct. And if you go to the Bible to ask the question, does the Bible say that once the early church was established and the Bible written, there would be no more apostles. No, it doesn't say that. Instead, you get such scriptures as, in the church God has appointed first apostles, and all these passages about every part of the body is essential, and so on and so forth. Now, there's much else in the New Testament, and I won't labor the point. The church has always needed apostles, and Christ has always sent them. He promised he would send them. These are grace gifts, by the way. How do you receive? Where do apostles come from? How can you have an apostle? The truth is, it is by grace that we are given apostles. Here's how it works. The church needs apostles, therefore God will supply them. It's as simple as that. God is able to raise apostles. But where does he get them from? Now, he doesn't turn angels into apostles. He doesn't get them from some other planet. If Christ is going to find someone and make them an apostle, where does he get them from? He gets them from our children. They grow up, mostly in the church like all the other kids, or they might be converted and brought in from the world, but the point is they started with as kids playing in the dirt like all the other kids. But notice that this was the offense that the people in Nazareth took concerning Jesus. When Jesus comes back to Nazareth as the Messiah, you know, as the Son of Man, everywhere else he can work miracles, but in Nazareth, no, they take offense at him, it said. And one of the things they said, well, who's he? He grew up here. He played with our children. In other words, he was just one of the kids in the village. Who does he think he is? But that's precisely where the Lord gets apostles from. And his eye is on everyone in the church and all those that he will bring in. The Lord knows those who are his. And he knows it's his choice. He'll choose someone to be a pastor. He'd choose someone to be a missionary. He'd choose someone to be a prophet. He knows what's in the heart. He knows how he's gifted them, how he's created them, what he wants to do with them. And if you will hear the Lord with respect to your own calling, what is it he wants to do with you? It's not necessarily that he wants to make you an apostle, but what does he want to make of you? If you will listen to his voice with respect to that thing, that particular thing will make you the most happy. You'll be fulfilled. But not only that, you'll be very fruitful. There'll be reward for you for doing that. No one has to look like you're the greatest person in the world. You need to find the will of God and live out that will of God as best you can, bearing fruit. But there are some people that his eye will be on. He knows he can make them apostles. And he chooses them for it, but thus begins a very long period of preparation, and for a long time they won't even know what it is he has in mind. And they don't all make it through, let me say. I'll come back to that, and if I forget, you'll remind me later about what is involved in the preparation of an apostle. But the Lord said he was, as I heard him, he was going to restore this leadership to the body of Christ. So I began to teach it and in different parts of the world teach it and to present this argument that the church was always meant to have apostles and in fact did have them. Look, in this 2,000-year history where there appeared like there were no apostles, no, there were apostles. He always raised apostles. He always sent them, but the church didn't recognize them. The church had lost faith for that kind of thing and so was not in a position to, by faith, receive apostles. But that doesn't mean he didn't raise them and doesn't mean they weren't fruitful. Think of some examples. Now, one that has had a lot of mentions in these lectures is Luther himself, Martin Luther. You know, people will think of him as a great, you know, reformer, a teacher, or this or that. He's an apostle. You know, here's a man with a commission from God who, in obeying the Lord, was given such power, such authority, that totally changed the course, changed the history of Europe, changed the history of the world, changed the course of nations, completely redirected the whole church historically, don't say he wasn't an apostle. But he's not the only one. And 200 years after him, there's another called John Wesley. And John Wesley has done as much to touch Christianity for Christ in terms of the real spirituality of the body as any man in history. Now, these were fruitful servants of God, and they carried this grace, but they're just the known ones. The easily known ones, right? There's lots and lots of others. You think of Hudson Taylor and Judson Adoniram and a host of people. And one not to be forgotten about is Patrick of Ireland. You know, you might have heard of St. Patrick. The most astounding story of all, I think, in the history of missions is the story of Patrick. These were apostles, but nobody used the terminology. Likewise, in our own day, you know, William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, lived before any of you did. He's long gone, but astounding, an apostle of Christ. And, you know, outwardly, he looked like an evangelist who became a social reformer. He was a Methodist minister, but he was very successful in evangelism. But he turned out he totally transformed a social life. And he went from being one evangelist to being 10,000 evangelists under his command in a mere 25 years. And they went to 80 nations and brought millions of people to Christ and changed the laws of England and changed circumstances all over the world. No, he was a powerful reforming apostle. Thank God he has always sent apostles. But we happen to come to the time when there's to be a transformation of church structure all over the world, church life. So in every congregation, in every city, a transformation of the way we relate with one another, the way we walk together, the way we will bear fruit. You know, the blessing of God upon cities, upon lives, the prospering of the gospel in every neighborhood. We happen to have come to the time when apostles must be raised everywhere and churches everywhere must walk with them and relate to them. A wonderful period in the history of the church is about to unfold, and you're a part of it. But you must come to understand and appreciate the real nature of an apostle. This apostle is not a bulldozer. He is not a military commander. He is not the managing director of a big company. He does not have to be successful. He does not have to own anything or control anything. He doesn't have to be the head of any organization. He can be a person who owns nothing, controls nothing, seeks nothing, but he will carry huge spiritual authority to bring transformation. The church is meant to recognize the apostles Christ sends and receive them and be in turn transformed by them. It's a wonderful thing.